Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Marion County has an unusually high number of arrests for public intoxication. A number of area professionals have initiated a new program to help multiple offenders get back on the right track. Intensive Treatment Court. Let's go in depth with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull. What's Intensive Treatment Court?
Bob, it's an opportunity for individuals who've been charged with multiple counts of public intoxication. So I'm not talking about a first-time offender, but a person who's on their second, their third, their fifth, their eighth public intoxication. It's an opportunity to work for them to work through a drug court-type program to best meet their rehabilitative needs. In Marion County, in late July, early August, I had an opportunity to sit down with Judge Guider, our associate district court judge, and really identify that for whatever reason, Marion County seemed to have a higher number of public intoxications than we would think we'd see. In addition to that, what we were finding is people who were being convicted of public intoxication also seemed to be violating their probation at a higher rate than the average crime that we saw coming across our desk. And we thought to ourselves, well, what can we do to meet the goals of correction, punishment, rehabilitation, and deterrence? The reality is, if you are on a third public intoxication, I have the authority, and if the judge sends a person, they can go to prison for up to 2 years. Well, it's apparent that the Department of Corrections doesn't want to be housing people charged with public intoxication. And so as a result, when we started sending those people to prison, what we saw is they were doing 3, maybe 4 weeks in prison before they were being discharged on parole. Well, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. It may very well be punishment, but it certainly wasn't rehabilitation and it certainly wasn't deterrence. So we need to do something else. Plus, the cost associated with sending a person to prison isn't inexpensive for the state. And it isn't inexpensive for the county, because every single person that I send to prison, my sheriff's department has to transfer out to Oakdale, which is right near Iowa City, and then come back. So we thought to ourselves, we got to be able to do something better. We got to be able to meet the needs of these people more efficiently, and we got to be able to save the taxpayers some money. So Judge Guider asked me to do some research into some options for these folks. And so we truly developed a partnership with a number of individuals that deserve credit at this time. Nancy Tiegler with Addictions Recovery here in Knoxville. Jared Harmon, who's an attorney in Des Moines, has volunteered to represent these individuals free of charge during court. The Department of Corrections has been incredibly cooperative to help us implement this program. Kim Doran with Public Health has agreed to offer a life skills class. And then James Bustamante, who's a therapist out of Des Moines, has agreed for free to come in and offer therapeutic services to these folks while they're on probation. It's really a team approach to try to figure out what's going on in these people's lives, that they are not just getting intoxicated, but then choosing to be out in public, potentially putting themselves or others in harm's way. So the way the system works is this. A person comes into court, they've been charged with a second or third offense, a public intoxication, and they can either choose to go to jail or prison, or they can choose to participate in intensive treatment court. If they choose to participate in intensive treatment court, there's a number of obligations. First and foremost, they're going to see the judge twice a month. 3:30 on Mondays, they come to court. Judge is going to hold them accountable for what they've done well and what they have failed to achieve. Secondly, they are required to actively participate in substance abuse treatment. That includes going to individual sessions, group sessions, as well as also participating in an AA-type program, whether or not that's a traditional AA program or a non-religious-based meeting program. So a person goes into court, they opt to go to this program, they go have a substance abuse evaluation. They then come to court on Monday. Before they come to court at 3:30, they got to go over to probation and provide a preliminary breath test that shows that they haven't consumed any alcohol. They then come to court. Treatment will then report how they've done in in court, in open court, in front of all of their peers about how this person has done. And so there's also an accountability standpoint, because right now we have 7 people who are signed up for intensive treatment court. They all come at exactly the same time. They may not all be in treatment together, but they're also going to have to stand up and be accountable. And what we know to be true is that addicts will hold addicts accountable, especially if they're being productive working the program and someone is dragging them down. That's something that's problematic. Also required during this program is that you have a job. You either have a job, you're looking for a job, or you're seeking an educational program. Whether or not that's adult literacy, a GED, or a college degree, you have to be actively doing something that will make you a more productive member of our society.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about intensive treatment court with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull.
The first stage, which we call stage one, is getting into treatment, go to a meeting, have a job or be looking for a job or be working on an education. Once they meet certain benchmarks through their treatment, and it isn't based on time, it's not just because you're there for 3 weeks or 4 weeks you're going to move up. That's not the way it works. You actually have to complete assignments and be responsible and be productive and active during your treatment. You then move to stage two. Stage two will require a person to take a 4-week life skill class with Kim Doran, who has developed a plan specifically for these individuals to deal with everything from nutrition to parenting skills to financial management to better able them to be productive members of society. In addition, they'll be required to do 4 individual sessions with an individual therapist, try to get to the root cause of why they are abusing alcohol to the rate that they are. Once they complete those two steps, they then move on to phase three or level or stage three, whatever you want to call it. And that's the time that they give back to the community. It's a requirement that they do 25 hours of community service to make amends for the crimes that they've committed against our society and our community. Once they get done with their community service, they will graduate from intensive treatment court. Their probation won't be over. They'll still have to demonstrate either approximately 3 months or 15 months, depending on the length of probation, that they can stay clean and sober without being part of this program. So we're very excited. We started this program enrolling people into it in August and September. We had our first intensive treatment court on September 10th, and it went very, very well. Now we're very optimistic about where we're going with this.
Well, it's just really beginning.
It is absolutely just beginning. But I am proud to be able to say that every single person who signed up for this program did a couple things that I know that for your listeners may seem like, well, yeah, they're supposed to do that. But unfortunately, in my world, when you're dealing with criminals and people on probation, they don't necessarily always follow through with what they're supposed to do. Every single one of these individuals met with their probation officer as required the first time. Every single one of these people signed up for a substance abuse evaluation and completed their substance abuse evaluation. And every one of these individuals is already in primary treatment. So in a very short period of time, these folks have done what has been asked of them. And from a standpoint of a taxpayer's, I'm here. I'm not getting paid anything extra to run this program. The court's here. Probation's here. And we have individuals, the substance abuse provider, Jared Harmon, the attorney, James Bustamante, all volunteering their time to make this program a success. So from that perspective, I'm very optimistic about where we're going. And quite frankly, if we can make changes in these folks' lives, it only betters not them, just themselves, but society as a whole. And that's really our goal in this program.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about intensive treatment court with Marion County Attorney Ed Bull. Now, you're just talking about
public intox, not OWIs.
That's correct.
Is that right? OWIs is a completely different matter, or they might be part of the same deal.
Well, as of right now, the program is designed only for public intoxications. Warren County, for example, has a very successful OWI or drunk driving court that they use the same philosophies to implement. The reality is, in a county the size of Marion, these type of programs only work if you can keep them relatively small. By all the literature that exists, 12 to 15 people is about the maximum you want in a drug court program. The reason being, every single one of these people have to come down and talk to the judge at every single court hearing. If you have 50 people in the court, we'd never get through in a day those individuals. And so do I think, is it possible we could see similar type programs? Yes, but right now we're starting with this one. And to the best of my knowledge, when I went and met with the director of the Department of Corrections, they, in essence, are using Marion County as a trial program. They want to see how this works, because they were very surprised when they went back and they looked at the folks who were on public intoxication convictions. What they say is their likelihood to reoffend, their criminal thinking. They were surprised to see that those folks were all in the high-risk zone. And so they are very interested to see whether or not, of our initial class of seven individuals, how successful this is with them not repeating their crimes and diminishing the recidivism rate for these individuals.
Now, I know I have listeners that are out there thinking that somebody with eight public intoxes, there's not much you're going to be able to do, that you're being very optimistic.
I think that's a fair statement. But quite frankly, the message that I've received from the Department of Corrections is they don't want these folks in prison. Because if I send someone to prison for a two-year sentence and they're discharging them on parole after 22 days, then what message are they trying to send me? And so the reality is, I think we have to give it a chance to work. What we've seen is some of these folks came in, and even some of the people who are in our program, they walked into court and said, well, where do I pay my $100 fine so I can leave? Up until this point, there wasn't a lot done or services offered for these individuals. So you're right. I'm not myopic. We may not be able to help every one of these people. But if I can prevent two or three of them from showing up in someone's front yard passed out drunk when you go out to pick up your Sunday paper in the morning, I think we've done a good thing, and we're doing it at zero cost to the taxpayers.
Now, when you mentioned that these folks are going to have to take life skill classes, things that you and I and most of our listeners just take for granted, it suggests, to me anyway, a pretty rough start in life for these folks that may have contributed to their drinking problem, where they didn't get a lot of the opportunities that the rest of us did if they didn't get basic training on those things you mentioned.
I guess my view is this. We have a variety of different types of individuals in this program. We have people who've been to prison before. We have both men and women. We average and range between, I think, about 19 and 60. So every one of these people come from a unique background and a unique story. And from my perspective, I don't know why they are here. I don't know where that fork in the road existed and they chose the path that led them to being involved in the criminal justice system. But quite frankly, if they can gain some skills that would assist them, I'm all for it. And when I approached Kim Doran, the Director of Public Health, about what type of life skills classes existed in the community, we thought that this was a good opportunity to implement some of the programming. Kim, at her very heart, is a teacher. That's her background. And she was all for saying, you know what, maybe I can do some things that can help people. I think all of us would agree there's no harm in learning how to become a better parent. There's no harm, even if you have the skills, of financial management. And so from that perspective, if these may be topics that these people have no experience for or background in, at the same time, it may be a repeat for some of them. But my view is it's a service that could benefit them. One of the females in our group right now is pregnant. So I think if we can have an opportunity that I'm not going to be involved in her life in juvenile court by having to remove her child, because prior to the birth of her child, we can get her some parenting skills, I think that's a win-win for the community as well. The amount of money that it costs when we put kids in foster care and have to offer remedial services to parents to make them better parents, if we can catch it on the front end, I'm all for that. It'll save us a ton of money, and it'll also reduce the trauma on that child tremendously.
Okay, so you don't know where the original fork was, where they made the wrong decision. Your goal is to make another fork, another turn available.
Right. They walked into court, and they chose to participate in this program. No one forced them to. And so as a result, at this point, they have an opportunity to move forward in their life and be successful, or they're going to spend time in jail or prison. Because one of the things that we haven't discussed is that if you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, if you pick up a new charge, if you don't go to treatment, if you're not going to your job like you're supposed to, you're going to spend some nights in jail. Every one of these people understand that if they screw up on probation, the first offense, whether it's not being where you're supposed to be, whether or not it's being asked to provide a random UA and you fail it, you're going to go spend 48 hours in jail. If you do it again, you're going to spend 72 hours or 96 hours in jail. The third time, you're going to prison. So there is a lot riding on these people's heads to be successful in this program. I am often told by my treatment, my counselor friends, as I call them, that for addicts, sometimes you got to fake it before you can make it. And if this program forces these folks to remain clean and sober, because they don't want to see the judge on Monday with a bad report, or it forces them to go to treatment, even if they're just walking in the first day and saying, oh, I was just walking down the street and the police officer bothered me. The reality is I am hopeful, and as you said, I am optimistic that this program will make changes in folks' lives. At the same time, I also hope it's a deterrent, because right now, people walk into court thinking, I'll just pay my $100 fine. Well, that ain't the way it is anymore. And the reality is if you walk into my courtroom and you're charged with third-time public intoxication, you're either going to prison or you're going to work this program. It's that simple. And so I hope that message gets out, because maybe that in and of itself will be a deterrent to a person that, you know what? Maybe after drinking at the bar, the idea what I shouldn't do is go to Hy-Vee and cause a scene or stumble down and pass out in the middle of Lincoln at 2:30 on a Saturday or Sunday morning. That's what I'm hoping for.
Thanks to Ed Bull for contributing to the program. For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.